We're in Ecclesiastes. Please turn there if you would, and we'll be talking about the chapter 7 is roughly where we're going to be today. And we had a little spot of it read, which is kind of a central thought in there, where Solomon begins to talk about wisdom and the fact that even for him, the wisest man on earth, he said, even I can't really understand wisdom. When I really start looking at wisdom, I can't fully understand it. So that's a good little starter, if you will, that verse right there to think about. But it really reminds me of so many times in my life, and I tried to think of different circumstances, and I bet all of us could, where you've done this, you've done something, and it didn't work out the way it should have, and you said, oh, well, live and learn. Have you not said that before? Live and learn. You know, sometimes we live on-the-job training, kind of, you know. And it would be nice if you didn't always have to live to learn. If sometimes you could learn before you live to help you with your living. In fact, somebody said, some folks may live and learn, but by the time they've learned, it's usually too late in life. And I know that's true. I sometimes look back on things that I did when I was younger and think, man, I wished I knew, you know, I wished I would have known ahead of time and done something differently in that particular circumstance. And I bet everybody in here could do that, but you could think back of some things that you wished you'd have known back then. Well, Solomon says it's possible in order for you to live a good life to learn early, you know, instead of living to learn, you can then learn to live, and wisdom is what it's all about. And that's why we're in chapter 7. I just want to tell you, just as a kind of a background on this particular section of Scripture, starting about verse 11, where he begins talking about wisdom, and this is chapter 7, verse 11. He really follows all the way through chapter 9 and even part of 10 on wisdom. And so relax, we're not going to go that far. We are just going to look at the rest of chapter 7 and look at some things he has to say about wisdom. We were here last week, by the way, looking down at verses 15 through 18 about not being over righteous or over wicked, you know, one way or the other, but making sure that you avoid all extremes. And we'll just touch on that, but that's kind of embedded in this little discussion about wisdom. He says several things about wisdom. If you've got notes in the back of your bulletin, you like taking notes, then this would be a good thing for you. Here's the first thing he says to us, and that is right here in verse 11 and following, and that is that wisdom is a positive thing. It's a good thing. Notice that, verse 11, wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing and benefits those who see the sun. And then he adds, wisdom is a shelter as money is a shelter. But the advantage of knowledge is this, that wisdom preserves the life of its possessors. He said a lot of things in there, but just kind of back up long enough to notice what he said. First of all, wisdom's a good thing. It's kind of like an inheritance. And so let's just stop and think about that. Isn't it nice? Isn't an inheritance a nice thing? I mean, not that you want anybody in your family to pass away, but when that happens, isn't it nice that there is an inheritance? You have money that you hadn't earned, and yet your family has passed it on to you, and so you feel like you have something important because a loved one has passed it on to you. But besides that, it kind of gives you a little bit of security, which is why then he touches on money itself. He says money's a shelter, and you know, it is. Now, God, of course, is the ultimate shelter, and we're taught not to become over-trusting in money. But at the same time, he's acknowledging the fact that it's just real with all of us that it's better to have a little money in your bank account than not, you know. It's better to be able to pay your bills on time and keep up with everything and maybe have a little bit of time to, if you want to go down to the beach and go surfing for a while or do something like that, it's kind of neat to have a little bit of money in the bank so you can go do that. And that's why he then tacks in wisdom. He says, wisdom's like that. Wisdom's a good thing to have. Now, the NIV here in verse 11 says wisdom, like an inheritance, is a good thing, but some of your other translations say wisdom with an inheritance is a good thing. And most commentators will tell you, these Hebrew experts will tell you, that that's actually the better translation, that he's saying wisdom with an inheritance is a good thing. And I could understand that too, and so could you. It's kind of nice if you do have that money, that you have a little wisdom and know how to use it, you know. Wisdom kind of helps you out. It's a good thing to have along with whatever else you have. How many of us haven't had people, or maybe even ourselves at some time in our past, who have had a chunk of cash and just went through it like water, and we look back and think, man, I wish they'd have spent a little bit more time putting some thought into what they were doing, and they kind of blew it all, you know, before you know it. And we think about that, and that kind of fits here. He said wisdom with an inheritance is a good thing, and I think we could all understand that as well. But the point he's making, though, is the last part of verse 12. Why it's so good, it's got greater advantage than an inheritance or money. It preserves the life of its possessors. Now, he might mean, and I think probably both, he might mean the physical life gives you a longer life. You know, you have the wisdom to make the good decisions that in choices in life that cause you to live a longer, healthier life. Or, and I think it's included, it also gives you the wisdom to know what to do about eternal life and to make the right decisions in that area. And if Solomon's not talking about that, and there's a good case that he may not be, because he's talking pretty much through the book of Ecclesiastes about under the sun kind of living. And so he may, I think, most likely be talking about this life, but I think we could include that other one as well, the eternal life that comes after this life. The wisdom will give you that as well. Wisdom's a good thing. It's positive. And so no wonder we ought to want it. And Solomon then is kind of sharing that with us about wisdom. He then says in verse 13, consider what God has done. And he mentions something that he said back in chapter 1, sort of. Who can straighten what has been made crooked? When times are good, be happy, and when times are bad, consider. God has made the one as well as the other. Therefore, a man cannot discover anything about his future. I don't think he's taking a dirt road into some other topic. I think he's kind of saying that wisdom is a good thing, and wisdom helps you sometimes, but there are limits to your wisdom. There are things that happen in life, and he's already been talking about that throughout so far, about how things happen that you have no way of predicting. You don't know the day you're going to die. There are a lot of things you can't control in your life. And so maybe I think he's putting that in there. And isn't that true? Aren't there things in your life that just come out of the blue and you can't control, you can't predict, you can't make happen? And sometimes when you want to make something happen and you think you've laid all the plans out exactly right, they don't pan out, you know? That's just the way it is. And so wisdom is a good thing, but it's limited. And maybe it even adds the fact that as a wise person, you realize, you know, I really can't control everything in life. And so you learn to kind of go with the flow in some of those things and not get all critical at God or unhappy about life, because those kind of things happen to us in life. And every one of us could probably identify with different things. And so then he plugs in, I think, beginning in verse 15, what we talked about last week. In his meaningless life of mind, I've seen both things, a righteous man perishing in his righteousness. Remember, he already said that wisdom preserves your life. And so now he's saying, but I've seen that that doesn't always happen, that righteous people sometimes die early, and wicked people sometimes live a long life. And we talked about that last week. And so he gives us some advice, I think, is good wisdom. Don't be over-righteous, meaning, I believe, don't be self-righteous and so focused on that you think that you don't have any kind of wrong in your life or badness. On the other hand, don't be over-wicked. In other words, don't be counting on God's grace or counting on God to look the other way about your sinfulness. Don't get sloppy in living out your life as a godly person. Those are all wise things, and so he leaves us with what we talked about last week, so I want to kind of hurry through that and go to our next thought. He says in the next thing about wisdom, notice he picks it up in verse 19, he says, wisdom makes one wise man more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. And so, again, if you're taking notes, here's the second thought, and that is that wisdom not only is powerful, I mean, it is positive, but it's powerful. And he uses that word, it's powerful. It makes one wise man more powerful than 10 rulers in a city. So I don't know if the ratio's right, that a wise person is 10 to 1, you know, more successful or more powerful, but I think he's just trying to build it up. Even 10 rulers aren't as powerful as one wise person. And so I thumbed over to chapter 9, and if you don't mind doing that, just flip the page over to chapter 9, because he gives us an example of what he's talking about. Verse 13, chapter 9, verse 13, I also saw under the sun this example of wisdom that greatly impressed me. There was once a small city with only a few people in it, and a powerful king came against it, surrounded it, and built huge siege works against it. Now there lived in that city a man, poor but wise, and he saved the city by his wisdom. Now, I'm kind of disappointed reading this because Solomon doesn't tell us how he did it. He just says he did it. And so that's not the point, therefore, to talk about how exactly he did it, but just the fact that he did it. A powerful king came and built huge siege works and surrounded the city. But just one wise man, saved the city, you know. And he was impressed by that. And I guess that's a good message for us, because he wants to impress on us how valuable wisdom is. It's so powerful. But then he says he says nobody remembered the man. Verse 16, so I said, wisdom is better than strength. This is the better thing that he's going to talk about. But the poor man's wisdom is despised, and his words are no longer heeded. In other words, not everybody appreciates the fact that wisdom was involved here. And boy, isn't that true today. The quiet words of the wise are more to be heeded than the shouts of a ruler of fools. Wisdom is better than weapons of war. And then he goes on again and says, but one sinner destroys much good. So there's several other things he's saying here about wisdom, but one of the things he's saying is to show you this example that really impressed him. That wisdom is stronger. It's more powerful than even weapons of war or a powerful king. And so wisdom's a good thing. And it's also good because it's powerful. It helps to make you powerful, makes you make decisions in your life that make your life more successful. Now, he gives us an example. Again, he's not taking another dirt road. There is not a, verse 20, there is not a righteous man on earth who does what is right and never sins. Do not pay attention to every word people say, or you may hear your servant cursing you, for you know in your heart that many times you yourselves have cursed others. And boy, can't we identify with that? Don't we know sometimes? I turned across two lanes of traffic going into a McDonald's at Temple, you know, that exit, you know, and you got to go across because the roads all merge together and there's a McDonald's and I'm dying for a McDonald's. I think I wanted a coffee or something like that. And I cut across, pickup truck's coming in one of those two lanes. And he's far enough back, I thought, that I could make the turn. But, man, I got halfway through that turn. And that guy was all over his horn, you know. And I thought, what's he doing honking at me? And then it dawned on me, wait a sec, I honk at people too. You know, that's kind of what he's saying. You know, be careful not to be critical of other people because you've done the same thing. So, learn a little bit of, grace and graciousness in your life. It's a powerful thing. And one of the wise areas is teaching you how to handle your life and not being. And I think this does fit back with verses 16 and 17 about being over righteous and stuff like that and over wicked, that we sometimes go too far to think that we've arrived and nobody else has. And so I believe that's part of it. So he says wisdom is a positive thing. It's a powerful thing. And here's the next one. It's a profound thing. So notice the P's in there. I got one more, but here's this one. It's a profound thing beginning in verse 23. And this is the verse that we had read. All this I tested by wisdom and I said, I am determined to be wise, but this was beyond me. Whatever wisdom may be, it is far off and most profound. Who can discover it? And again, like I said before, that impresses me. And does it not impress you that Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, is actually admitting, as wise as I am, when I try to understand wisdom, forget about it. It's way beyond me. Even me. Whenever I try, he says, to understand. Whenever I try, I am determined to be wise. I find that I fall short. It's awfully profound. And so I think biblically, we're on the right track. Third point, wisdom is a profound thing. It's positive. It's good for your life. It's powerful. It helps you to make good decisions in your life and live out your life well. But it's also profound. and he wants to study it. And so he says this, and this is a good little thing, at least in your mind, to circle. That's verse 25. So I turned my mind to understand, to investigate and to search out wisdom in the scheme of things, and to understand the stupidity of wickedness and the madness of folly. And here's what I thought when I read that. I thought, wow, Solomon's kind of given us a little bit of a hint as to how you can study a little bit of wisdom. Here's how you can kind of get wise, is studying wisdom, the scheme of things, how things fit together, and watch way things work out in life, and learn from those things, and so you can kind of develop wisdom, but also look at how things don't work. Look at the negative side and say, oh, well, that didn't work, and so therefore, that's not the thing to do. And so he gives us a couple of examples of that, but he says, I'm going to study the scheme of things and to understand the stupidity of wickedness. Now, he's not politically correct, but he's basically saying, when you're wicked, you're stupid. It's stupid to be wicked, in a sense, you know. And it's also madness. It's crazy to be foolish. So don't be crazy and don't be stupid, he's saying. But also, I got to study these things. When I see stupidity, I need to realize it's stupidity. What's that comedian's name, Ron White, that says, you know, you can't fix stupid? I don't think that Solomon would agree with that. I think Solomon would say, you know, you can study stupidity and you can learn from it. You know, maybe even stupidity. I will admit that I've done stupid things in life. So I can, maybe you haven't, but you can study sometimes stupidity in your own life, but in others. And so he studies, and here's a couple of them. I find, beginning of verse 26, more bitter than death, the woman who is a snare, whose heart is a trap, and whose hands are chains. The man who pleases God will escape her, but the sinner will be ensnared. And so here's one of his observations. I'm going to study this stuff. And I see that sometimes people are, the stupidity of weakness or wickedness is to give into those kinds of weaknesses and you get snared into them. And learn from that, he says, and learn not to be drawn into those things and get trapped, because I've seen it happen. Now, one commentator said a good thing. He said, Solomon's mainly writing to a male audience. And so using the example of the woman is understandable, but the flip side is true as well, is it not? Could you not sometimes see a woman who is trapped in the snare of some foolish man? You know, somebody who maybe runs women over and stuff, and sometimes you know women in your family or you've seen them who don't know how to get out of those kind of things. They kind of let themselves be just completely entrapped in that. And so it could be either way, but it's something he learned. It's more bitter than death, and that sometimes people let themselves get ensnared into the things in life. And then he says in verse 27, look, says the teacher, this is what I've discovered. Remember, he said, I'm going to look at this stuff, adding one thing to another to discover the scheme of things. So that's the way, kind of add things up and look at them. While I was still searching, but not finding, I found one upright man among 1,000, but not one upright woman among them all. This only have I found. God made mankind upright, but men have gone in search of many schemes. And that last one I thought was kind of neat, interesting to me. Solomon said, I'm going to study the scheme of things. And what I find is that some people are scheming, you know, other things. And that many people are out scheming. And in essence, one of the things you learn that's profound about wisdom, as you observe, is that not many people put much into the effort of becoming wise. There are way more people living foolishly in this life than there are living wisely. Isn't that right? Don't you see that? And maybe that's one of the things to understand about wisdom. Maybe it teaches us more of the importance of wisdom, but it also teaches us that when we try to be wise,